Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wine Muse, where tonight we're talking about wine at, guess what? That intro should give it away, weddings, and fun ways you can incorporate it into your event without breaking your budget, because wine certainly can do that. I'm your host, Linda Rez, and I'm joined by William Pollard from Wild for Washington Wine and Natalie Migliani from Beautiful Booze, one of the most visually stunning and creative cocktail sites on the web. Natalie believes that every occasion begins and ends with a beautiful drink. Welcome to the show, Natalie. Hey, William.
Hi. Welcome, welcome. Hello, everyone.
Thank you for coming on today and joining us on this topic. I actually have a wedding coming up, and so that's what inspired me to do this particular show that revolves around cocktails and wine and all kinds of fun things we can do. Your site has, you can just go to any tab on your site, gin, vodka, tequila, and you have all these wonderful ideas for cocktails. How did this all get started for you?
I just actually started by entertaining a ton of guests, and I was always asked for recipes. So I just started creating recipes and post them on a site. And what I really like about my site is it's very easy to find recipes because it's organized by spirits, by season, by occasion. So I don't specifically have a wedding tab, but I have tabs for groups and parties. So they're really good recipes to multiply or make punches or like big bulk recipes.
Yeah, and I have looked on there and seen some of those.
Yeah, so that's a good way to kind of get started in the cocktail arena. If you're kind of intimidated by a cocktail with a ton of ingredients, I cater to the home bartender. So most of my drinks have one spirit. So you can go to the store, buy that one spirit and make a lot of drinks.
Now, I was attracted to your site initially by your photography, beautiful photographs, and your use of bourbon. Caught my eye instantly, and I became an instant fan.
Yeah. I try to, well, I'm from North Carolina, so I do have a lot of bourbon cocktails because I've been drinking that for a long time. And I was just trying to create an approachable way to use bourbon in a cocktail where it's not just served on the rocks and something you can use to put a twist on a classic cocktail. And stuff that's a little bit upgraded from just your typical whiskey and Coke or bourbon and Coke.
Mm-hmm. You definitely put some twists on everything. Very creative. and your pictures, your photography, you do all of that. But you're not a professionally trained photographer, you say in your bio.
Yeah, I'm not. I've just taken photos on trips before. I've never really done any classes. I just had a camera that I got from Costco and I just started taking photos. So it's been a learning process for me as I've gone along. I use a little bit of a Lightroom application here and there, but for the most part, I just try to use a lot of natural light, which can be challenging because I live in Seattle. So you have to be creative in the times that you're shooting cocktails. So that can be some early morning drinking.
So you don't go by the rule after dinner or whatever, maybe.
Nah, not always.
Yeah. We so, like you.
Natalie, has anyone approached you about weddings and planning the drinks for a wedding?
Yes, I actually have questions about that all the time. I did, I have a couple cocktails on my website where I did his and her cocktails, which seem to be a trendy topic right now. A lot of guests don't want to pay for a whole bar, and it's actually hard to do that anyway because it's hard to gauge like if, how many people would drink like a bunch of gin or vodka or bourbon. So people are opting to do signature cocktails, which has also spurred people to do like a his drink and a her drink for his and her cocktails, or maybe just one signature drink. So I've done, a martini type pink raspberry drink for her cocktail. And I did a bourbon ginger ale for, like his cocktail, but you can definitely do like a lot of people opt to have beer, wine, and one signature cocktail. And I actually encourage people to make that into a punch because I think it's fun and everything can be done in bulk but ahead of time with that. And it's just way easier.
Absolutely.
So instead of having a bartender mix one drink, you just do a punch bowl of the drink.
Right. You can do a punch bowl, and there's creative ways of things you can also do within that. Like, I have a couple punch recipes on my website where I've done an ice ring, which is really fun because the ice ring, you just freeze it ahead of time. It keeps the punch cool, but it's also, you can make it look really beautiful by adding edible flowers or pomegranate seeds or berries or even just citrus to make it super easy. And then guests can just serve themselves and it's not a big issue.
Smart. Well, when it comes to a wedding, wine is, it's kind of like when you're doing mixed drinks and you don't know who's going to want, say, a champagne versus a white wine versus a red wine versus a rosé. Mm-hmm. So what would your advice be for the person trying to, like, for, I'll just talk about myself. I have a wedding and it's going to be an evening wedding at sundown. And I know I have lots of different types of people. So what kind of advice would you give us if we want to serve wine at a wedding?
So I have a couple ideas that I try to give people that ask me. Because I've thought about this and I've thrown a lot of parties. So I kind of understand what it costs to host those and kind of what is approachable for a large party of guests. When you have people that some favor red wine, some favor white wine, I think definitely, like, one of my suggestions is an upgrade champagne. A lot of people will do something like that. It's really easy. You can take berries, as simple as berries, to add to champagne, and people, you know, freak about it. Edible flowers, like stalks of just, like, lavender to give that just a little bit of flavor without overpowering the champagne. Easy, simple syrups you can do ahead of time, which could range anywhere from, like, simple syrups out of tea, fun, like different flavors of tea to berries and herbs. I also favor for the wine, and I did a party like this where I did some bottled cocktails, which are really popular and they're fun. You can just get these empty glass bottles and they have bottle caps that you can put on top of them to seal them, and it's really easy. And so what I did is I made a lemonade berry sangria with red wine, and I just mixed the lemonade and the red wine ahead of time. And then I had a buffet of berries where people could pop open their bottled cocktail and then customize whatever they wanted. So they could, if they really like blackberries or raspberries, they could just choose all the berries they wanted to put in the sangria. So I think that's fun because then you have a guest interaction. And obviously, that could also be done with white wine.
I saw that, actually, and I'm going to copy that idea, definitely, because I love sangria, and I love the idea that you had the berries out in front of that, and they could just take a little spoon and put whatever fruit they wanted, so you don't have to mix that ahead of time. So if you want to do your sangria up 2 or 3 days in advance, your fruit's not getting all, you know, used out. It's nice and fresh. The other thing... William was telling me you had an idea about mimosas that you add other fruits other than just orange juice, other fruit juices.
Yeah, I think a do-it-yourself mimosa bar is really popular, and people can pick and choose what fruit juices they like. I mean, orange is the standard, but I actually have found that people favor other ones. Like grapefruit is really popular because it's not so sugary. It just adds a citrus flair. For people that like sugary drinks, pineapple's a good one. Also pomegranate. I think you can't go wrong with any type of juice you find. And there's been a lot of like creative stuff out there recently. Like it's a while back, it was hard to get pomegranate juice, but now you can get that. You get like flavored pomegranate juice. I mean, there's all kinds of options. So it's really accessible to anyone. Like you don't have to live in a huge city to find flavored juices and then kind of pair those with the garnishes to make it fun. So then people aren't just tied to, you know, orange, the standard orange one. There's a ton of options. And I think people really appreciate the fact that they can customize something to their taste.
And if you were to do that, and then William also mentioned mango juice. If you were to do that, how would you serve the juices? You wouldn't just put a bottle of juice out there because I know you would never do that. You know, the actual sun-kissed orange juice carton out there. How would you do it?
And I appreciate that, because I think a lot of ideas that people get, it stems from seeing something beautifully presented, even if it's a simple cocktail or simple drink like a mimosa. I mean, it's two ingredients, but you can really elevate it with the presentation. My most popular recipe on my website is a do-it-yourself mimosa bar. And I just took a piece of old wood that I had, and I painted it with chalk paint, and I wrote mimosa bar on it. But I also found some kind of clear, really cool bottles that I used, and I just labeled them, and I put the juices in those bottles. But if you were doing some kind of like rustic barn type wedding, you could always do like bigger like mason jars full of those juices or something to fit the occasion. I kind of did bottles that had little corks on top. But again, there's so many options. Like mason jars are so easy to find. But also, I got the bottles just at my local grocery store that I used for mine. So it was super easy.
I like the old wood painted with chalk paint. That's smart. And you can do that for your sangria bar or your mimosa bar or whatever you decide to do.
Carrot juice really mimosa. I never would have thought of doing carrot juice for a mimosa.
Well, it's interesting. I got some ideas because when at the last place I lived very close to a Trader Joe's, and they have all these different kinds of juices, and carrots were one of those. And in the springtime, they have all the different, and even the summertime, they have like different colors of carrots, which I thought were really fun. So I used some of that as garnish.
Nice.
And I mean, now it's getting summertime, so berries are really popular and really easy to use. And another thing at Trader Joe's I just recently used for a margarita bar is a blackberry juice that's really good that they have. And also like pansies and just edible flowers will really make the presentation look pretty if you put one of those in there or top it or garnish it.
When you say edible flowers, you did mention lavender. Are there any other ones that come to your mind?
Well, pansies are really edible? Pretty, and I use them a lot, and they're edible. Also, in the herb aisle at a lot of grocery stores, they have an edible flower flowers that I've used a lot of times, and that a lot of them are marigolds. And marigolds are really strong. But if you pull the actual petals off and just sprinkle them into the drink, they're really pretty and they're not overpowering.
Right. I didn't know they were edible. Marigolds are edible, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If you find organic flowers that are edible, so most of the time I do get them in the refrigerated section. So then they don't have all the chemicals on them. So that's just what you have to be aware of when you're using them in a food product. There's a lot of resources online for what flowers are edible. Orchids are also really beautiful and they're edible, but they're not budget friendly.
Got that right.
Yeah.
Well, I like
roses
the idea.
Roses are edible and they're very pretty.
Oh, didn't know that either. I had no idea. Yeah. So your thought is definitely mix up these drinks and have them ahead of time. And if you have a huge group of people, it's going to make it easier for you so you can enjoy the event too. And you don't have to have somebody back there tending bar the whole entire time. Have you been at some of these events where they do this? And what did the people think about it, the guests think about it?
I think people really like it. I've been at events where they also use really pretty drink dispensers. So that's another option, which means you can already have a pre-mixed cocktail ready hours ahead of time, and all you have to do is put ice in it at the last minute, which makes a beautiful presentation. So I've been at a lot of these, and I swear, like, I've been at ones where they've had these signature cocktails pre-made, but they've also had a bartender, and almost 100% of the time, people are going to the self-service pre-made beverages just because it's easier and there's not a line and you're not waiting just kind of for that basic cocktail. The signature cocktails tend to be something that has a twist on it, something that's unique. So I think that's really fun for guests to do and serve themselves. It's so easy. You don't have to wait on somebody to make your cocktail.
I think you're absolutely right. I know I would prefer that. And I've been at weddings where they've done both. And I went for the signature cocktail as well. Sometimes they, the last wedding was out, we all liked it so much, they ran out very fast.
Right. That is the thing. That is the thing. Uh-huh. I just did a party where I made a punch 6 different times.
Oh my goodness.
So it is very popular, especially punches. And on, I made a punch last night that I just put in a fruit bowl. So it doesn't have, you don't have to have a ton of fancy stuff. I mean, the cocktail visually, if you're garnishing a punch or you use a punch ring, it is already beautiful. So I think that mixing and matching things that you already have or things you can borrow from people really keeps the cost down. Right. Last night I just did a lemonade champagne punch with vodka. It was really easy. You buy lemonade already made. You can mix it with the vodka ahead of time. You want to top it off with champagne at the last minute and add ice. But then how you garnish it really makes it look good. I mean, I added sliced peaches in it. I added thyme and just lemon slices. And all of that, like all the peach slices can be done ahead of time. All the citrus can be done ahead of time. And it's just throw everything in and it's just very visually appealing. And it's tasty, but people really, you know, it's like eating with your eyes. They do the same thing with drinks.
What do you
is that on your website? I'm sorry. I just I follow up just saying I need that recipe. So is that on your website?
That is not on my website. It's currently on my Instagram account. The portions aren't on there, but it's super easy. It is it's basically 2 liters of lemonade, 1 bottle of champagne, about 1.5 cups of vodka, and that's basically the base mix.
Okay. Very easy. Very easy.
But I want to put it on my website because people really, really love punches and they're very popular right now.
Yeah. Well, especially it's party season. You know, even if you're not going to a wedding, there's summer parties all over the place. And we're getting together more. And I did read on your website, too, how much you are just crazy about getting together with people. That's your passion.
Yes. I love
entertaining.
It. I mean, I like bringing the drinks. You know, people, I think people really connect over cocktails. I think it's a conversation starter. When you have beautiful cocktails, I think it does bring people together. And they look forward to having something that's fun like that and something that's different rather than just like a bland bar. And then with that, I mean, just a bunch of just spirits sitting around with your typical mixers like ginger ale, Coke, soda water. I feel like we can do better than that. And my tip to people is seriously, if you have a bottle of champagne and you really don't want to do anything, if you have any kind of berries just to throw it in, it totally changes the look and the feel and even, it makes the drink better, but it just upgrades it to another level. And I think it's as simple as that. That's just one thing that you can do.
I agree. And would you say that the cocktails are really more important than even the food?
I mean, I like to think that. I think that when people open the door, if you can hand them a signature cocktail, I mean, if I walk into a party and somebody or a dinner party or friends and they hand me a signature cocktail, I feel important. Like I don't know, something about that feels very welcoming, very inviting. It's very fun. It's just, you're impressed by it. I just feel like it's a conversation starter, and I feel like cocktails have gained popularity to where people are having drinks before you eat dinner. Then you have wine or maybe even another cocktail with dinner, and then there's always like after dinner drinks. So I think that they've really gained in popularity, or maybe just creatively in ways you can use just classical cocktails and kind of bring them more to life than just like your typical martini. I don't know.
I agree. I
like the creative sense. And for me, I want to make it accessible to other people and provide easy tips, because nobody wants to spend so much time trying to prepare a party because it's a lot of work and you don't want to be stuck in the kitchen making cocktails or stuck behind the bar. And so, you know, it's just as simple as what's seasonal, what do you have in your refrigerator? I mean, I feel like herbs are really easy always. It's just like 1 or 2 steps just to upgrade something.
Yeah. And yeah, so and they can look on your website and just click a tab based upon what they have in their pantry or their liquor cabinet or whatever, and you have all these ideas based upon that particular base drink. William, what was your question before when I was kind of talking over you there?
For these larger groups, I'm wondering about glassware. Are you using glass or using plastic? Are people renting? It seems like there's a lot for these larger events and weddings. How do you source all of that?
I think there's a wide range. I like the concept of mixing and matching stuff, but I understand that people have expensive glassware, and I think it's fine for a dinner party, but I think it can be problematic for a bigger party because stuff gets broken. I've tended to use, at my bigger parties, the smaller like jam mason jars because they're really cheap and they're like indestructible. I just feel like you can use them for cocktails. You can use them for wine as well. They're very versatile. And at the end of the day, they're so multi-purpose. If you buy a ton of them, you can reuse them for storage or vases or anything. So that's appealing to me. There's also some really good glasses I've used in the past from IKEA. They're really cheap and they stack on top of each other. And they're very good for wine and cocktails as well. I think I like using the cheaper glass options versus like Dixie cup or paper cups. I don't know. I just feel like the cocktail should look beautiful. I like it in glass. But obviously, if that's not an option, I think there's other options. I've never gone down the renting road, but I hear that's really easy as well because they just bring it to your house and then you just put it back and they pick it up. If you don't want to put it out there and buy all that stuff, then that's definitely an option. But those two ideas from IKEA and definitely like the mason jars are really good because then I feel like if you're having more than one party, it's a real small investment.
Well, we actually did find some for our wedding that we have coming up. And they have handles on them, some mason jars with handles. And they weren't very expensive. We got 150 or so for, I don't know, for about $150. And we're just going to let the guests keep those, you know, take them with them if they want. If they leave them, you have them for another party.
That's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. And it's also fun to maybe like hand out a little card as a party favor with the recipe on it too, like the cocktail recipe, so then they can remake it at home if they want to. I always get asked for recipes, and that's kind of how I started this, but that's a fun idea because people love making cocktails, and usually when you make a punch or something really pretty, they'll remember it, and they'll want to try to make it too.
Smart.
I like that. Yeah. Now, Natalie, you're from the South, but you're based out of Seattle now. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
So I assume you're available for events and venues if somebody wants to contact you and have you coordinate an event for them?
Yes, I'm always available for that. I like doing events. I'm also available for consulting, helping with recipe ideas or doing parties. I get called a lot for corporate events where I'll go in and do happy hours or like team building exercise and show people how to make like a simple cocktail at home. So that's always a fun thing. And a lot of times I'll get brought into parties where they'll just provide the alcohol and then I'll bring all the ingredients to help them make the cocktail.
Nice. Well, I bet like you are a very popular person for parties.
Well, I just like to bring something approachable, and it's a learning experience, too, because then I come in not as a teacher but as a guide to kind of guide people on how to make simple cocktails at home and how you can make them in bulk for a party and how you're not going to have to sit there like a bartender and use five different liquors and all of these complicated things and bitters and all of this that seems very overwhelming.
Very nice. Well, Natalie, we really appreciate you coming on. We're big fans of your site, beautifulbooze.com. Do you have any big other plans for that site or expanding it out? Because it just seems like it's so, you know, amazingly beautiful and accessible. And I know it's very popular. It's been showcased in all kinds of other media. Do you have any bigger plans maybe to go television or?
I'm I don't know about that. I haven't really done anything like that before. I've definitely thought about some type of book or some type of coffee table type book with photos, because I do think that's lacking in the cocktail section. I think home bartending is gaining popularity, so I'd like to put myself out there for that. And I think there's also, in this industry, it's very male dominated. So I think there is room for females to come in and feel like it's, you know, it's accessible to them as well.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of, I feel like, my next step, but I do a couple columns, weekly stuff for people and different special projects. So that's what I'm working on now, but I'm always like looking for ideas on ways to kind of expand and move forward and just bring booze to people accessibly and in a creative way.
Nice. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm going to incorporate some of these suggestions into my very own wedding. Thank you. Yes. You have fun. You're in North Carolina right now?
Yes.
All right. Well, enjoy your
traveling right now.
Oh, booze traveling. Oh, my gosh. Yes. You're living the life. You are living the life.
Yep. Yeah. All right, thank Natalie.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you. Alrighty. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
Oh, she's great. She really, what a great life. Beautifulbooze.com, Natalie Migliani. And she's beautiful, too. Just a beautiful person, obviously, inside and out. And it really has caught on to our secret that we all like cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like her approach.
Yeah, I do, too. And she's absolutely correct, because the weddings I've been to that were serving signature cocktails, everyone just hit those cocktails and, you know, they disappeared so fast. First 30 minutes of the receptions, you know, they were gone. So I don't know if you can prepare enough. You probably need to have some extras, my guess. But William, now we're going to talk about some of your ideas specifically with wine and budgeting. And this would be, having direct wine other than wine cocktails out.
You know, when I worked at the winery, we would have every now and then people would come by and they were shopping for wedding wines. And so they would go to the wineries and try the whites, try the reds, try the dries, try the sweets. And then they would try to build a menu of wine for the kind of wedding that they have. And, you know, I always told them, you know, you're going to find some people that like white wine. You'll find people that prefer red wine. You'll find people that won't drink Chardonnay. You'll find people that will only drink one particular kind of wine. So you can't please everyone. So you have to, you have to find something that will be flexible enough for a large group, and something that if there's a bunch of it left over, you don't mind drinking afterwards. So you need to get out and taste. And you also need a budget. And when you're budgeting for wine, you have to assume that you're going to get, you know, 4 to 5 pours off of a bottle of wine, depending how generous you're pouring the wine, and then do the math with the number of guests that you have. One of the things that, you know, that I've noticed is if you're doing a daytime event, your chilled whites will go more quickly and your warm reds aren't going to go at all. However, if you're doing an evening event, people are partial to red wine, and you'll see that a lot of people will ignore the whites and they will go right for the reds. So you kind of have to balance that. You know your guest list, know the time that you're doing the pouring. And then also, you know, what's your budget? How much money do you want to spend per bottle? And I would say don't limit yourself to just what you can get from, you know, your region. Look around. There may be some wonderful deals with imported wines from South America or from Europe. You know, I've been tasting a number of imported wines this year. And there's just been some, you know, for $10 a bottle, just absolutely gorgeous red wine, you know, $8 a bottle, beautiful white wines. And I would get out, shop around, do some taste testing with the main group, you know, the bride and groom to be, as well as the family members that will be in the immediate wedding party. Taste, take notes, and then compare and pick the ones that you think will be a good representation for the kinds of friends and guests that you'll have at the event.
I think your point is well taken, and I didn't even put it together. I wasn't even thinking about it, but you're right. If it's a daytime wedding, they're going to gravitate towards white wines. the rosés even, and well, the chilled whites. And then at nighttime, they're going to go for the reds. So that kind of opened my mind, because we are having an evening wedding. My another thing I've taken away from what you said is that you need a variety, because your guests are all over the board on their tastes. It's true. You're going to have people who really like a rosé, and you're going to have people who really like a Cabernet. And so you have, you do need to have something for everyone, but it can be expensive.
Right. And so, you know, the sparkling wines are fun for the toasts and for celebrating. You don't have to buy French champagne. If you have the budget, go right ahead. I'd love to have some French champagne. But if you don't have a champagne budget, then look at your alternatives. Look at Proseccos from Italy. Look at Cava from Spain. If you want a French wine, there's Crémant d'Alsace, which is from the northern part of France. And there's some wonderful deals on Crémant d'Alsace. Or you can go with a U.S.-based sparkling wine. You know, there are quite a few affordable sparklers in that $10 window that will make people happy. It will give you the bubbles. You can do the mimosas. You can do the toast. So don't think just it has to be champagne. It doesn't have to be. There are some other
reasonable options. Yeah, what do you think about local wines, though? You mentioned that on another show, that at events it's nice to have a local wine.
So know your audience. If you have an audience that is expecting local, we're fortunate in Washington State. We have all kinds of local wineries. We have, you know, over 800 wineries to choose from. Mm-hmm. If your guests are from outside of the area predominantly, they may be unfamiliar with Washington and Washington wine. So this could be an opportunity to educate them. And perhaps you only want Washington wines to showcase, to show them something special.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever your area may be, Oregon. Now, we were talking today to Youngberg Hill, the vintner for Youngberg, not the vintner, the owner and vintner for Youngberg Hill. And he was saying that they do weddings, and that is those Wayne Bailey. And they also do elopement packages. I just had to bring that up again, because there is another option, like the elopement package. You can take 12 people and you could go to their winery in Oregon, and they have the Justice of the Peace and the setting and everything.
And a beautiful setting.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people are starting to do their whole wedding, and they do also the big weddings with 300 people at wineries. And so a lot of people are now incorporating the wedding into a wine event, anyway. So the wine's already there.
So I did a little research on weddings. I haven't been to a wedding in over 10 years, a long time. And I didn't realize how expensive weddings are today. The average wedding cost is $31,213, and that excludes the honeymoon.
Wow.
And the average number of guests is 136.
That's it? Wow.
These are all averages. These are stats from 2014.
Well, our budget is much, much smaller than that. I can tell you that right now.
Well, and
much smaller. That's crazy.
The national average for spending on catering per person is $68 per person.
Wow. That's the average.
That's the average. Amazing. Also, it said most weddings go over budget.
That's for sure. Yeah, I can attest to that.
It said almost half the couples go over budget.
Wow. Well, it all adds up. And that's why, you get the venue and you have the catering, which is really a big, big portion of it. And the photographer and your musicians or DJ, whatever you're going to do. There's so much, and it just all, you're surprised how, and the cake, it just adds up so fast. That's why I wanted to do the show with wine, because I think that there are other ways to do it that it doesn't have to be so expensive. And that's why having Natalie on the show was so helpful, because if you mix the drinks, it's going to make them go longer, like the mimosa bar. What was that you gave me today? You were telling me how many glasses of champagne you can get out of a bottle versus with the mimosa.
Right. So you can easily, double how far that bottle of sparkling wine will go if you're adding juices to it or dropping in some fruit as well, and then dress it up with a little garnish of a peel or a flower, make it pretty. And then it's special. And you're not saying, look, I'm cutting corners. You're saying, look, I'm giving you a beautiful presentation, a lovely drink. And we put some thought and consideration into it because you're a special guest on this special day.
Right. And same thing goes with sangria. For those of you who aren't, familiar with sangria, you can do it in so many different ways. My sangria, I usually use a red wine base, and then a fruit juice of some sort. Usually, for me, orange juice, but you could use anything, mango juice or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I put fresh fruit in it, but then I like Natalie's idea of having the fruit already just in little bowls so they can, or jars, so they can just scoop it into their own sangria. And then mm-hmm. I also add a little vodka into mine and sometimes mm-hmm. a little coconut rum. And then you let that sit and marinate for about a day. And all those flavors come together and make a delicious drink. And you could make that in a big, you know, like a 5-gallon tank and then have it there so that they can serve it themselves. And then it makes, that's a good use of red wine. And it's a huge extension of the red wine.
And when you're making sangria type drinks, the quality of drinking a wine isn't quite as important. You know, it should be a good wine. It doesn't have to be the best wine when you're doing something.
Oh,
like
not
that.
At all. Actually, right. I have used some pretty low end wines too, and it's turned out just as good in the sangrias.
Yeah, so, if you're pouring the wine straight out of the bottle and not mixing it, go for something that you like the taste of. I think we've mm-hmm. both been at homes or at venues where the host is pouring a wine that perhaps we're not fond of. And it's mm-hmm. nice to have some options.
Options are everything. There's going to be, and unfortunately, we are having a night, and sangria is a cool drink. So I think we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have some of that wine in the bottle. It's just going to have to happen with the red wine. Mm-hmm. And the good red wines can break the bank. So you have to, I think, be real careful, like you said, and do the tastings and little research.
And I need to update my website with my top 10 under 20. I've keep forgetting I need to update because there's some wonderful values out there under $20 a bottle, reds and white wines. Just there's some lovely wines out there. And I need to update my site so that people can find some great values easily.
Right, right. So the under 20, and you get about what, 5 glasses per bottle?
You know, depending on who's pouring, you can get 5. It depends yeah. who's pouring. And it depends on the size of the glass you're pouring into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's another, you know, whoever's doing the bartending pouring, you know, it's good to have a talk to them about, you know, what is expected and how it should be presented and, you know, how generous the pours are or are not, depending on, you know, what you're doing. So that's another piece to, you know, to worry about, to think about.
Well, and your glass size, because you brought that up with Natalie while she was on about which glasses to use. And, you know, we have already ordered these kind of, you know, jars that have handles on them. They look vintage, but they do, for beer, it would probably be considered small, but for wine, it's probably considered large. So the size of your glass is going to probably determine how much of a pour they're going to do.
So when I was at the winery, we had event glasses. And they tended to be a little smaller. they weren't our standard higher quality tasting room glasses. They were, you know, mobs and mobs of people type glasses. So they were a little bit smaller, and they were in racks so that, you know, we could run them through the dishwashing machine quickly. And you couldn't put too much wine into them, so you could stretch that bottle of wine a little bit further if you needed to.
Which is always a good idea, I think. Slow people down a little bit. And sometimes people take more than they can actually drink and it gets wasted. Mm-hmm. And so a smaller glass is probably, even if you're going to do something real creative, try to do it on a smaller level. You know, we didn't ask Natalie about beer, but there's also hard cider and beer options. And there's all kinds of ways you can do that too.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that as well. So how many people are actually drinking wine at the event? You know, it's so hard to tell who's going to be drinking what.
And like I said, I have not been to a wedding in a long time. So mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on out there with the current wedding crowd and what people want to drink.
Well, my experience just watching other people, the weddings I have been to, is that most of them do drink those signature cocktails. That's mm-hmm. the first thing I saw go. At the very last wedding I was at, so, and it wasn't that long ago, it was just bang. Everybody went to that cocktail, especially right after the wedding. They poured in, and it's almost like weddings can be kind of stressful because you're worried about what you're going to wear, and you know the people who are in it are stressed too. They're worried about the time and getting ready and pictures and everything. And so after the wedding, it's like everybody wants to just cut loose and relax. And so mm-hmm. that they're going for the easiest thing. And that signature cocktail does seem to be the thing. But like I said, you know, if you do a sangria or a mimosa, if I do that, I think that would be equally appealing to somebody for that, you know, like the signature cocktail thing on the same level, basically. Quick, easy, right. Beautiful.
Right.
So I'm going with that.
I like, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I have lavender in the back. I'm now, I want to start experimenting with lavender, putting it into some drinks.
Well, marigold, orchids, pansies. I had no idea this was edible. I'm amazed.
Well, and I have herbs too. Herbs go really nice in nice cocktail drinks as well.
Yeah. Well, any last thoughts on it before we end the show?
Well,
any last suggestions?
If anyone out there is getting married, congrats and consider eloping. Eloping will save you a lot of money that you could spend somewhere else.
That's right. But I know we offered that. Everybody offers it or puts it to their head. But some people, you know, it's just really important for the moms and the dads and everything. They want to be there right. at that kid's wedding. And so, you know, even if you want to elope, you feel like you're obligated to do the wedding. And then they can be a lot of fun. I mean, once you jump into it and realize that this is what we're doing, you can do it. I don't think it has to be $31,000. I really don't. I don't. People aren't expecting that. I don't think they really are there for you, and it's your right. day, and it can be anything you want it to be, and people are going to be happy. They just want to be there to celebrate with you. That's hopefully why they're there. So whatever you serve to them, usually they're very thankful. Go ahead.
Select some nice wines to share with your dear ones, your loved ones, something special that you can toast and cheer. It's nice to splurge a little bit too on wine.
Yeah, it is. So don't, when you're budgeting, don't leave that one too small. Keep that little budget there for wine. Well, it's been a fun show. It was really fun talking to Natalie. She's at beautifulbooze.com. And if you haven't seen that site, you will want to. It is fantastic. A lot of times your Google searches will lead you there anyway, but you might as well just go there on your own and explore, because it's a visual feast. And if you take some of her ideas are so unusual and creative, but yet so simple. So I highly encourage everybody to go to beautifulbooze.com.
Yep, I do. And I follow her and I see all of her pictures and recipes. A lot of fun.
Absolutely. It was really fun talking to her today. Well, William, wish me luck on my wedding. It's not until August 22nd. Good luck.
I was starting to stress here. I started worrying about what you're going to spend. Anyway, I hope we helped a little bit.
Not that. We found all kinds of ways to keep the budget down. You really do not have to do a $31,000 wedding. I don't know who's doing those weddings. It's not us. But you can do it much cheaper than that. Well, cheers. Our next show is going to be on spring and summer wines. We've already got that one going. It's going to be fun.
All right.
And a lot of those wines would be great to serve at a wedding too. So it'll really segue into this really nice. All right. Cheers, William.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us tonight on The Wine Muse. You can hear more of our shows at minstrelandmuse.com, and you can find us at William Pollard's blog at wildforwashingtonwine.com. Please join us again every third Thursday of the month, live here on BTR, for another new show.